It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's Food Friday. We'll get some tips on fall baking.
But first, Governor Scott Walker called a special legislative session last night, and he's hoping to use a projected $100 million surplus to push down property taxes.
Governor Walker said he wanted to deliver the tax cut for December's property tax bills and that lawmakers needed to act quickly because local officials are in the process of finalizing those budgets and determining their tax levies.
Todd Berry joins us now. He's the president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. Todd, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, what do we know about the plan so far?
Well, we've been sort of playing around with numbers today. The governor had said that this would be about $13 on a medium value home this December. We tried to work with the school aid formula to figure out what this would really mean. We think that about one in every seven school districts will not benefit simply because of the way the school aid formula works. The rest will. We think about half of those districts will see their school levy reduced between 0 and 1%, and the rest a little more than 1%. Now, of course, the school levy is only 40 to 50% of the whole property tax bill, so cutting to the bottom line, we're probably looking about a half of a percent or so, typically in the reduction of the overall levy. But again, there will be a significant number of school districts that will not have a reduction. And in the thing about these formula and how local control we are in this state, the numbers will be all over the map.
Well, you've said that it reminds you of a tactic used by former Governor Doyle. Can you explain what you mean by that and what he did?
Well, December is the operative month because that's when property tax bills come out, and those are the last property tax bills before the election. And so in both Governor Doyle's term, same time, going into the 06 election and going in now into the 14 election, this would be the property tax bill. They would want to try to move down the property tax a little bit. And both Governor Doyle and his successor are sort of going about it in the same way. At the same time, the only difference is Governor Doyle had more money to work with.
Now, Democrats like Representative Sandy Pasch have questioned the timing on this in relation to Mary Burke's announcement to run for governor. So this comes something like, a couple weeks after that. What do you think about that? Is it coincidental?
Well, I'll leave that to the partisans to fight over. But, I mean, clearly, if you wanted to do something on the property tax bill before the election, December would be your last chance. Announced candidate or not announced candidate.
Now, obviously, you know, property tax reduction is something that appeals to a lot of people. On the other hand, we are in a time of high budget deficits. You know, what do you think about using this money in this way instead of, say, you know, a rainy day fund?
Well, as many of you and your listeners know, the last budget 2 years ago was a very tough one, and pretty much everything was reduced in order to increase Medicaid. But the good news that came out of that budget is we did actually build up a surplus. So we started the new budget period this summer with probably over $700 million, which would have been the biggest kind of balance we've had in a very long time. And what is going on in this budget, even before any property tax change, is that they're spending more than they're bringing in revenue this year and next year. And the way they're able to do that is by pulling down the surplus they accumulated. And so you end up with, once again, and this has sort of been the pattern in Wisconsin history over the last 10 or 20 years, is we like to flirt with getting the balance down there where we are potentially vulnerable if there's a downturn.
So you would say save it.
Well, the other thing that's happening this coming week is the state will be announcing what its actual surplus was at the end of last year. By law, those numbers come out. And I suspect the governor and his folks know what that number is, and so they just decided to get a little jump on that and use some of that money. So I suspect they have a little more money than we perhaps thought. But again, they are already going to pull the surplus down by about $400 million in order to do the things they wanted to do just in the regular budget that passed.
Well, what do you expect will happen next with this? I mean, if it goes forward, do you think it's enough of spare change in people's pockets that this is a good move, or is it too diffuse to really make a difference?
Well,
to people?
It's pretty diffuse. And again, remember that at least at the taxpayers' lines, our best guess was that about 15% of the school districts would see no benefit from this because they don't get school aid, or for other reasons that the way the school aid formula works. It should also be said, though, that, and this was the same with the Governor Doyle move some years back, is with revenue limits in place, the schools don't get any of the money. It is forced to go to reduce the property tax, which, of course, will make taxpayers happy. I mean, our property taxes in Wisconsin are about 25% above the national average. So I suppose any amount would be welcome. The problem is there are also municipal and county and technical college levies, and those will vary greatly from community to community. So when you take a 0.5% or 1% reduction in levy and you spread it around the state, it may get washed out by what is happening in your city or county or tech college district.
All right, we'll leave it there. Todd, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That was Todd Barry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we join farm-to-table chef Ian Clower to get some inspiration on how to bake with all of our yummy fall apples, pumpkins, and pears.
But first, Jean Purcell joins us now because this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Here's the deal. Listeners, you provide the single largest piece of our budget. That's why your gift is so important. To kick this thing off right, to encourage your gift today, your pledge of any amount automatically enters you into a drawing for an iPad. So make a gift of any amount right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Now, as you know, this is the first day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Pledge Drive for this fall. Last hour, by the way, we heard from 31 listeners, and thanks to all of you for those pledges of support. But we've got a goal for this hour, too. And this hour, we are heading for a goal of 35 pledges, and that has to happen before 4 o'clock. Help us meet this goal by making your contribution right now. You can do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And remember that the programs you enjoy will be here every day in WPR thanks to your gift.
Listening to WPR is like a tuition-free, lifelong education. All you need is that radio or computer or mobile device to listen on.
That's right, and it's your support that makes all of that possible to you. That lifelong learning is possible because of your support, and it's available to hundreds of thousands of other people, too. And I think that is pretty amazing stuff. You've got the power to share information and learning with a huge community of people when you support WPR. You can do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs, the ones that have been here a long time and the new ones like Central Time that it just celebrated a 3-month anniversary. We've got a little added incentive this hour. We've got our Food Friday segment coming up, and we've got a little thank you, 7 recipes from Food Friday guests, some of our fellow WPR staffers. I even threw in my kale chip recipe in my own. Yeah, kale chips. I like, my kids like them too, is the crazy thing. Here's the deal, though. You pledge now any amount. Any amount. We'll say thank you, and we'll give you that Food Friday recipe pack along with your pledge. Pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Well, just like Rob's kale chips, I've heard a lot of comments about pledge drives over the years. But, you know, pledge drives really are a time to celebrate the quality of the programming you hear here in WPR. And we know that you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because, frankly, you enjoy the programs. Right now, we're asking you to back that feeling up with your financial support.
Really, listeners provide the single biggest chunk of our budget. The programs you enjoy here every day would not be possible without that piece of the budget. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Right now, Wisconsin Public Radio is my wake-up in the morning. Joy Cardine takes me to work in the morning. It kind of gets me revved up if she's talking about an issue I'm passionate about. It gets me ready to go in the morning. And then on the way home, I'm really getting to like Central Time, and that takes me home at night. Honestly, I was listening to the WPR, I think it was the fall membership drive when I joined, and it was during Joy Cardine's show. I was on my way into work, and I was listening to these stories from other listeners, and I thought, you know, that should be me. I should be doing the same thing. As soon as I got into work, I got on the website and I contributed. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Thank you so much, Bridget. Really appreciate it. Now can Bridget inspire you? Pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Rob Ferret with Veronica Rickert, and Jean Purcell is joining us to ask for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. If that gift is $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And think about, like Bridget, think about how much time you spend with Wisconsin Public Radio every single day, every single week. You know, when you listen to WPR on your way to and from work every single day, say an hour or two every weekend, that means that you're listening more than 700 hours a year.
Wow, when you think about it that way, does $5 a month or $10 a month sound like a lot? I don't know. That's pretty cheap, hour by hour. For hundreds of hours of listening, it makes WPR one of the best bargains you're going to get out there for entertainment and information. Your gift, whatever amount you choose, really makes a difference. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you know, you've heard us say it before, but it's worth reminding you that listeners provide the single biggest piece of our budget pie here at WPR. So when you make a pledge of $5 or $10 a month or any part amount that's comfortable for you, what that means is that you're doing your part to help keep this station strong, and we thank you for that. Just go to WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
How about this, Gene? Six people have already pledged since we started talking. Five of them, check this out, making their first ever pledge to Wisconsin Public.
That's terrific.
I love when people make that first pledge. They take that first step. How about you? Help us out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Remember, for any pledge, you get entered into that drawing for an iPad.
And remember, too, that 29 more pledges to go in about the next 40 minutes. We are doing really, really well during this break. So thanks to everybody who has called so far. And don't forget to ask for Central Time's Food Friday recipes with your pledge of any amount this hour. That includes the recipe for Rob's kale chips. Pledge now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And there's recipes in there from actual chefs, too. So it's really good stuff.
Nice.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Speaking of actual chefs, we've got Ian Knauer. He's going to join us in just a couple minutes with great fall baking ideas. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Time now for our Food Friday segment.
Well, 'tis the season to put on a sweater and start baking stuff. And just in case you need some new ideas for what to do with all of those apples and pears and pumpkins and other fall goodies, we've got farm-to-table chef Ian Knauer on hand now.
Ian is the host of a new PBS series that's called The Farm. He's got a cookbook out by the same name. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
All right, now some people are bummed, you know, days are getting shorter, winter's on the way. Baking in the fall, though, that's the perfect antidote. Are you excited about the changing season as a cook?
This is my favorite time of year to cook in general. You have the height of produce because you've been waiting all summer for things like collard greens and broccoli and apples and pears and quince and pumpkin and butternut squash, and now it's here, finally. And it's just so much fun to go into the kitchen with all that stuff.
And for some reason, I also feel like in the fall, you get a little bit of a free ride with desserts. I feel like, well, it's fall. You have to eat desserts because there's things like apple for crisp and there's pumpkin pie. I don't know. Is this a good baking season to you, too?
This is the time to get back into the kitchen and turn that oven back on. You know, it's a little cooler, so you don't have to sweat yourself out of the kitchen. And you mentioned sweaters. Sweaters is like my favorite article of clothing. So in general, I'm really excited that it's fall. But yeah, it's true. I mean, when you get into February, you eat chocolate, and that always is sort of a guilty pleasure for a lot of people. But this time of year, you can sort of write it off because you're eating a lot of fruit-based things. So you have your apple pies and your pear pies and even your winter squashes. You know, they're actually quite good for you.
Fruits and vegetables.
You can justify it that way.
Well, of course, we've got apples all over the place right now in Wisconsin. Now, what are some of your favorite things to bake with apples nowadays?
One of my favorite pie, you could call it pie, it's actually more of like a crostata or an open-faced tart. Is a combination of apples, pears, and quince. Now, quince, of course, they sort of look like a yellow apple, but they're totally inedible unless you cook them. I mean, if you tried to eat one ever, it would dry your mouth out like a super dry wine. It's so tannic. But when you cook with them, they become almost like this sweet honey flavor. They're quite soft. And to combine them with apples and with pears, I think you get a really interesting combination. So I like to take a tart apple, some quince, and some sweet pears, toss them all together because then you get a nice balance of fruit, and then just put them on a basic pastry dough, like a pie dough, that I roll out flat. I mound the fruit with a little bit of sugar and some lemon juice right in the center, and then I just fold the edges up over the edge of the fruit. So it's not a covered pie, and it's actually much simpler than sort of transferring your pie dough all over the kitchen and having it fall apart and that sort of thing.
So it's like a rustic kind of pie,
rusticness. Exactly. Yeah.
I was just curious about the quince, how you prepare those, because I've had quince jelly, but I can't bring to mind what an actual quince looks like or how you would prepare it.
Well, so when it's uncooked, when it's coming off the tree, they're actually sort of more like bushes than trees. It looks kind of like a fat pear, and it's yellow when it's ripe. It has a little nub on top. So that's how you recognize it if you see it at the farmer's market. When you cook with it, you can cook with it like a pear or an apple. So you would want to peel it and then take the seeds out. There's a little core in there. So take the core out. And then I just dice it into like 1-inch chunks and keep it simple. And then I toss those with the rest of my pie ingredients, for instance. Now, if you wanted to make a quince paste, you would sort of do it like you would make an applesauce. So you would... Again, you peel it and take the seeds out, and then you just cook it down and cook it down slowly, you know, stirring so it doesn't burn on the bottom, until it starts to fall apart. And then you would continue to cook it until you get the consistency that you're looking for. And then you can keep going and keep cooking it, and you end up with what's called membrilla, which is this really lovely quince jelly almost. It has a lot of natural pectin in it. So once that quince jelly is cooled, it almost becomes like a jelly candy. Really good when you serve it with some salty cheese.
Nice.
All right. Now, Ian, I may have mentioned to you before on the air, I'm a very, very lazy cook. I tend to go for the crisp family of desserts because there's no rolling or any of that annoying stuff. You just throw stuff in, throw the other stuff on top of it, and then bake it, and you're good. Do you have any tips on making crisp, you know, a little better than ordinary?
Yes, and I'm right there with you. I think that, you know, the less time that you can spend hunkered over the stove, the better, the more time you can spend with your guests and your family actually eating. So crisps are one of my favorite things, too. And the crisp topping that I make is quite simple, but it has a lot of variations to it. So basically, it's some room temperature butter, some flour, and some oatmeal, and a little brown sugar. And that all gets mixed together with your hands until it forms sort of like a crumbly paste. And then that you can just sort of crumble and sprinkle over your fruit. Now, if you want to get a little creative with that, you can use something other than oatmeal. So I've used quinoa. You can use basically any other grain as long as it's a small grain and will cook quickly. And it gives you a really interesting sort of nutty, crunchy, different take on that crumble.
Well, that sounds interesting. Yeah. Quinoa on crisp. That's something I never would have thought of. Well, then it's practically a health food.
Yeah. I'm a little worried. I'm not sure I buy this.
It still has some butter in it.
All right.
Well, I want to ask you about the recipe you gave us, and it is a ginger pear tart. Now, this is a recipe that people can have if they make a pledge of any amount this hour. And so tell us a little bit about that ginger pear tart.
So this is also one of my go-to recipes because it's such a wow factor. So it's a tart de tan. It's cooked upside down in a nonstick skillet, or even better, a cast iron skillet if you have one. And you make a little caramel in there. And then I add some fresh ginger, which gives it a nice punch, and my fruit. And so in this case, it's apples, but you can use pears in this too. You have the fruit, you peel it, and you take the seeds out, and then you put the fruit on the caramel. And then you cover it with a pastry. So you can make your own pie pastry, or you can buy like a puff pastry is really good on this, and just roll it out to fit the skillet and then tuck it in around the fruit. And then that whole thing goes in the oven. And what happens in the oven is the apples cook and their juices come out and they mix with that caramel that you made in the pan, and the pastry gets crisp on top. So then you take it out of the oven, let it cool for just a couple minutes, and then invert the whole thing onto a serving platter or a cutting board. And the caramel just drips down over those apples onto the crust. This is a really, actually really simple, but impressive dessert. And of course, you know, serve it with some vanilla ice cream and everybody's happy.
We got to stop doing these food shows. Of course, I'm hungry now. Just as a reminder, you can get that recipe and six others in our thank you gift, the Food Friday recipes, with a pledge of any amount. WPR.org is a place you can do that, or you can call 888-202-2552.
I love the idea of using ginger with fruit. I love cooking with ginger, but I hadn't thought about, you know, putting it with these traditional fall baking recipes. Yeah. Are there other fruits that it lends itself well to?
Oh, ginger. Oh, I put ginger in just about everything. And we're talking about fresh ginger here. Now, ground ginger, dried ginger, is a pretty common pie spice or pretty common cookie spice. But when you add some freshly grated ginger, it totally elevates the dish to something that's completely different. Gives you a much more interesting flavor. Now, I mean, I'll serve it with strawberries in the summer, so I'll macerate some strawberries with some sugar, maybe a little booze in there to suck out the juices of the strawberry, and sprinkle that with some fresh ginger, and you've got something that's really incredible. It doesn't take much. I mean, it's just that one extra ingredient that really makes a difference.
We're talking with Ian Knauer. He's the host of a new PBS series called The Farm. He's got a cookbook out by that name. We'll get back to talk more fall baking after the news. And remember, you can pledge. We're kicking off a pledge drive, our first one ever on Central Time. Pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if that tart recipe has got you hungry, you can fix that pretty quickly by making a pledge, and we'll send you that recipe as a thank you gift. 888-202-2552. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett.
And this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Veronica Rickert. I'm here with Jean Purcell. And we're here to ask you to support the programs that you enjoy, because your support makes high-quality, commercial-free programs possible on Wisconsin Public Radio. And when you pledge today, you'll also be entered in a drawing for an iPad. So now's a great time to support the programs that you value with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I have to say, the first hour of Pledge for Central Time is off to a great start. The first hour ever of Pledge for Central Time, I should say. We've got just 19 pledges to go in about the next 23 minutes, so we are doing very, very well. And a reminder that it's your pledge right now that helps keep Central Time going strong. So make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
On Central Time, you get the news of the day. We keep you abreast on what's happening now. And you also get topics like corn mazes. We talked about that yesterday. Food waste and why that's a problem. And the evolving nature of wedding culture. Central Time is really your go-to place for an informative and interesting afternoon.
And it's all possible because of your financial support. Your financial support is a big part of what makes everything possible here on Wisconsin Public Radio. In fact, listener support is the single biggest piece of our funding pie here. So make a contribution right now. WPR.org is how you can do it online, or give us a call at 800-202-2552.
You get to decide the amount of your pledge, and every pledge is appreciated, and every pledge helps pay for the programs that you love on Wisconsin Public Radio. And don't forget, this hour you can ask for our Food Friday recipes as your thank you gift when you give any amount. at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we have Ian's fantastic, delicious-sounding ginger pear tart tatin in there, and also Rob's kale chips, which, by the way, he would not share with me that recipe. I've asked him repeatedly. He wouldn't give them to me.
That darn Rob. But he'll share it with the audience.
That's right.
That's the important thing. And, you know, we want to talk a little bit about money here because this is a pledge drive, of course. And you might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. And it's true. We do get some funding from the federal government. We also receive some from the state of Wisconsin. But the point we're trying to make this hour and this pledge drive is that listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
Your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And now that you know how important listener support is to Wisconsin Public Radio, make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, if you've never given before, let me tell you that it is easy to do. And it is also something to think about if you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio every single day. The something to think about is that it's a time for donation. It means that Wisconsin Public Radio is important to you.
And you're important to us because we're listener-supported radio. We count on financial support from people like you, people who rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to bring them something special every day. So your gift of $5 a month, whatever amount feels right to you, makes you a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, and it really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge of support this fall membership drive. I'm Veronica Rickard. I'm here with Gene Purcell asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We want to thank you in advance for your gift of maybe $10, $15 a month, really whatever amount feels comfortable in your family budget at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
And we'd also like to mention the easiest way to make sure that your support for WPR is always current is to become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Being a sustainer means that your gift, whether it's that $5 a month, $100 a month, or anything in between, automatically renews every single year and provides a stable funding source for WPR. So make that switch to a sustainer and make a difference at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Think of your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio as an investment in your future listening. Give us just a few minutes of your time. That's all it takes to make a pledge and your donation in any amount. And in return, you'll get lots of great programs like Central Time and so much more.
And I think those are great investments that we can all agree on. Make your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And in those few minutes, you'll have made a very wise investment, one that pays dividends every single day.
So we've got about 18 minutes left to go until 4 o'clock, and we are looking for 17 more pledges in those minutes. You can help out now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount, you'll be entered in a drawing for an iPad. And sustainers, don't worry, you are automatically entered.
And while you're at it, don't forget to ask for our Food Friday recipes with your pledge of any amount this hour. Of course, we've got Rob's kale chips that we've been talking about. Lori Skelton's got some single girl pasta, a recipe for that that sounds interesting. And there's some pickles in there and a host of others. Ask for those when you make your pledge of any amount, and that's this hour only. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're not already a sustainer, become one right now. Set up an ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. A sustaining membership is convenient for you, and it also provides reliable funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
We've heard from Ann in Freedom, who says, I really enjoy Central Time. The topics vary, and they're not always political. And boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of politics these days. Make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're picking up our conversation now with Chef Ian Knauer. He runs a family farm in Pennsylvania, and he cooks with what he grows there.
He's got a new PBS series. It's called The Farm, a cookbook by the same name. And we're going to pick up our conversation now about fall baking. He's giving us lots of great tips. We were talking apples, pears, a little bit of ginger in there. Ian, my favorite part of the season is the squash. Can you talk about what we can bake with the squash?
I love squash. Not just pumpkins, but butternut is great for baking. And then if you follow that through to other orangey, delicious things, sweet potatoes are one of my favorite pies. You can roast them, mash them, and use them just like you would use pumpkin in a pumpkin pie, or one of my favorite desserts with either pumpkin or sweet potato or pureed butternut squash is a bread pudding. And so I like to whisk the pumpkin puree in with a little bit of heavy cream and some eggs, and then toss in some old stale bread with that, a little bit of sugar, and drizzle the whole thing with butter and throw it in the oven. And it becomes one of the most incredible and super simple desserts this time of year.
So the old stale bread, that's the part that's going to soak up all the custardy goodness, right?
Exactly. And what happens is it gets nice and crispy on top from that butter that you've drizzled on it. But the bottom of this thing actually turns into like a custard. I mean, you can't even tell that it's bread. It just becomes something totally different.
Wow.
That sounds pretty good.
Ian, tell me more about this sweet potato pie. I love sweet potatoes. The concept of the pie sounds great. And no one else in my family likes sweet potatoes, so I don't have to share it. What is the key to a good sweet potato pie?
Well, you're definitely going to have to share it, because the best pumpkin pie I've ever had is a sweet potato pie.
Really?
Sweet potato has just this natural, not only sweetness, obviously, but almost like a caramel flavor to it, and especially when you roast them. So what I like to do is I like to prick the potatoes with a fork, roast them in the oven until they're nice and tender. So you can just put a little bit of pressure with a paring knife on them, and it goes right through. That's how you tell that they're done. Then I let them cool so I don't burn my hands, and then peel them and then mash them with a potato masher, or you can put them in the food processor too. That's easy. Unlike a white potato that will get really gluey in the food processor, the sweet potato doesn't have the same kind of starch in it. So you can just whiz them up and puree them. It's really simple. And then just follow your pumpkin pie recipe, your favorite pumpkin pie recipe, and substitute the mashed sweet potatoes for the pumpkin. And you'll end up with something that's a much prettier color, because the orange is much more brilliant than pumpkin and has that sort of innate caramel sweetness that sweet potatoes have. Really, you're gonna make it and you're going to love it, but I can't promise that no one else is going to eat it, even if they don't like potatoes.
Well, for people who like pumpkins, I'm curious what you think. I probably know the answer, but is it worth it to make your own fresh pumpkin pie instead of using the canned stuff?
Yes.
I don't know if I wanted to hear that, but tell me why.
I mean, I've used the canned stuff in a pinch if I'm out of time. But the best thing to do is get a pumpkin this time of year, take the seeds out and peel it and cut it in chunks, and just put that pumpkin flesh in a big pot with a cup and a half of water and cook it covered until it's falling apart and tender, and then uncover it and just cook it down until it's the same texture as the stuff you get in the can. And then what I do is I freeze it in Ziploc bags. I put one cup of pumpkin puree in each Ziploc bag, and I put them all in the freezer. I stack them in the freezer so they're nice and neat. And then anytime I want to make a pie or cook anything with pumpkin, I'll take out as many bags as I need, and I just let them thaw at room temperature. The work is all done ahead. You can still bake on the fly if you want to. And you're going to end up with a pumpkin flavor that is just so much better than the stuff that you get in the can.
I just started doing that last year, preparing a bunch of pumpkin and squash, by the way, and freezing it in 1 or 2 cup increments. And I just finished off last fall's pumpkin with a couple loaves of pumpkin bread.
And you didn't bring them into work because why?
Because that's our staple food when I make those. My wife and I, they're breakfast and they're dessert.
Oh, okay.
It's that great tween zone.
Well, so you guys are superior beings because you use fresh pumpkin. But what I want to know, what stops me from preparing pumpkin or, you know, squash sometimes is that I feel like it's hard to prepare, like even to get a knife through sometimes, like a butternut. Ian, do you have any tips for preparing before you cook it?
I do. My favorite way to get the skin off of a butternut is to use what's called a Y peeler. So that's a vegetable peeler that's in the shape of a Y instead of the one that's in the shape of, say, like a paring knife. So the Y peeler really works well on a butternut. It gives you much better leverage when you're peeling that skin off and actually makes it a really simple job. I've struggled so many times peeling butternut when I use the other kind of peeler, the long kind of peeler. But the Y peeler just makes it a breeze.
Okay.
Then I like to break it down into different parts. So sometimes butternut can be a little intimidating because it is sort of long and big, and you're right, it is hard to get a knife through, especially if you cut it lengthwise. But if you cut it crosswise first, you have much better leverage and you're dealing with smaller pieces. So I like to cut it in half crosswise, right where the bulb starts. So you have the seeds on the bottom and the neck on the top. I just lop it right in half. And then from there, it's much easier to work with.
Speaking of things that are kind of a pain in the rear end to do, making your own pie crust. I tend to buy mine or cook around it, make a not pie. If I was going to try to make my own crust, what's a good way to make it not too hard and not have it be an epic failure at the end of it?
So I think that the easiest way for people who are a little intimidated by pie crust, which is a really common thing, so don't feel ashamed about that, Rob.
I have been.
is to work with a food processor. So if you have a food processor at home, you want to put your flour, your butter, and your salt in there, and just pulse that until you get those pea-sized lumps that's written into every recipe. That's what you're looking for the butter size. So instead of using your hands to incorporate the butter, you run the risk of melting the butter, and then it starts to get sloppy, and then, you know, if you're intimidated already, it just makes it so much worse. So I would definitely recommend a food processor to get the butter in there. And then you can continue to use the food processor if you want. You can add the water in there and just pulse it until the dough comes together. If you do that, you get more of a sandy texture of the pastry, or you can dump that flour butter mixture into a bowl and then drizzle your water on, and then with a fork just gently stir it until it comes together. That way you'll get a really flaky texture. So depending on the outcome and what you're looking for with your pastry, you can either stop with the food processor at a certain point or continue with it.
All right, well, that doesn't sound too bad when you put it that way. Rob, will there be a pie in our future with a homemade crust?
Maybe. The problem is making pie crust scares me. The food processor also scares me a little. It's like sharp and it moves really fast,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of the food processor. Huh. But, all right.
Rob, I think you just need to get over your fear of baking and your life will be happier.
I agree.
Maybe so.
Yeah, and your office mates will be happier as well. So, you know, I want to talk to you about apple cake a little before we leave you. It's one of the sort of standards when apple season hits. What do you think makes a really good apple cake? What are some of your trade secrets?
My favorite apple cakes are made with oil instead of butter.
Why the
oil? When you have an oil cake, and specifically I like to use vegetable oil, but you could use mild olive oil in a cake like this too. It would be much healthier for you. Oil gives you a really moist cake. The texture of the cake is different than butter. You get sort of this, it's not spongy exactly, but it is really sort of delicate and falls apart. And I think it works really well with apples specifically. So the apple cake that I make is sort of a traditional bundt cake, and it's got a layer of apples in the middle and then a layer of apples on top with some cinnamon sugar. But the cake itself has oil in it instead of butter or lard or whatever you would want to use. So I would definitely recommend trying to find a recipe that is an oil cake when you're making your apple cake this year.
All right, Ian, before we let you go, what is your next baking project or experiment?
I know exactly what it's going to be. I am going to a local orchard in Pennsylvania where I live next weekend, and they are in the height of their apple season, and I'm going to make apple cheddar pizza, which I am really excited about.
You're going to have to tell us a little more. Apple cheddar pizza?
Yeah, well, so apples and cheddar cheese are sort of this wonderful classic combination because you have the salty cheese and the sweet apple. You get the nice softness from the cheese and the crunch from the apple, so they're really fun to put in your mouth together. And, of course, pizza is also, you know, I've never had a bad one. Even bad pizza is good. So pizza is a really great foundation for these flavors, which are, you know, right at their height right now. So this is sort of a really well-balanced pizza. It's not a dessert. It's more of an appetizer or even a main course. But again, you get the nice sweetness and the tartness from the apple and then that salty, ooey goodness from the cheddar.
Sounds great. Ian, as always, thanks for joining us.
Always my pleasure.
That's Ian Knauer. He's the host of a new PBS series called The Farm.
And coming up, we'll talk with Candace Gigrick about National Coming Out Day. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You're listening to Central Time, and Gene Purcell joins us now. It's our fall membership drive, our very first ever pledge drive as a show, Central Time. And we come to you because listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget here at Wisconsin Public Radio. That's why your gift means so darn much. And a couple reasons to encourage a gift today. Your pledge at any amount this hour automatically enters you in a drawing for an iPad. Wow, how about that? And this hour only, we've got our Food Friday recipes. 7 recipes, including one from Ian Knauer, who we just heard from. We've got his pear ginger tart. Also in the packet, roasted butternut squash and apple soup. Lots of great stuff. A pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as Rob mentioned, the first opportunity to pledge during Central Time, and it's been a great hour so far. We've got just 9 pledges to go in about the next 5 minutes or so. And it would be terrific if we could end this first hour by making our goal. We'd love to see that. 9 pledges in the next 5 minutes. And a big thank you, by the way, if you've already given. If you haven't, help us stay on track. Help us meet that goal by making your contribution right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can take just a few minutes to make this hour and more hours than you can count possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. You get to pick how much you give, then make a pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, this hour only, in fact, for about the next 4 minutes only, you can get our Food Friday recipes when you make a contribution of any amount. So pick the amount that's right for you, and remember that it's your donation that supports the programs you count on, like Central Time, and we'll also toss in this great thank you gift. Our thanks for making a pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Alyssa Block with NPR News. We've thought long and hard about how to support the work we do here in public radio, and it's really quite a challenge. Our stations need support, our network needs support, but we really don't like to interrupt our programs to ask you. We like to keep the flow of information coming. Well, recently, we've come up with a new way to pay for public radio, and our solution is found in 2 words, the sustainer. The sustainer is a person who pays for public radio automatically each month. And as more people become sustainers, the need for on-air fundraising days like this goes down. More programming, less fundraising. It's a win-win proposition. So I ask you, please become a sustainer today. And thanks.
You can become a sustainer at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Rob Ferret with Gene Purcell, a familiar voice on this program. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You provide the single largest piece of our budget. That's why your gift is so important. And remember, if you pledge today, your pledge of any amount enters you into a drawing for an iPad. Pledge now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We're just a few minutes away from the top of the hour now, down to 7 more pledges to go to make our goal during this first hour ever of Central Time pledging. Just 7 pledges in the next couple of minutes, and we are going to get there with your pledge right now. That pledge, by the way, will help pay for the programs that you count on all year long, not just this hour. Thanks, of course, if you've already given. If you haven't, give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here on the Ideas Network, you get programs that inform and inspire you, programs that entertain and engage you. You get these programs at the touch of a button or the click of a mouse anytime you want.
And so what makes all of this possible? Well, the answer is easy. It is you. The people who make that contribution, they make it happen for themselves and for others.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, membership really matters. Become a member with your pledge of, say, $5 a month. Or whatever amount's right for you. You can make that pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we are nearing the top of the hour right now, and we're going to ask you this question. And we're serious. So what does making a pledge really mean? Well, a pledge is a promise, of course. And we have our side of the pledge, too. We pledge to bring you great shows every single day. In turn, we ask for your pledge to support them with a contribution in any amount.
When you help pay the costs of this station, we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge. Now make yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just six more pledges to go in about the next minute or so.
I think we can make this goal. I really do. But, oh, you can
you
help
really
put us over
that?
The top. I really do.
You can. I think we've got some folks hanging on the line. But you know what? We don't want to be caught short. So make that call right now at 888-202-2552. Help us make sure that we make our goal for this hour, this first pledge drive for Central Time. And sustainers, don't worry, because you will also be automatically entered in that drawing for an iPad we've been talking about.
Or if you are not a sustainer, if you haven't pledged yet, make a pledge now, get entered in that drawing, get a handful of tasty recipes as a thank you gift with your pledge. Any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Keep going through the news, and I think we can hit this goal.
That's right. And don't forget, when you make your pledge at any amount, just for the next few seconds, to actually ask for our Food Friday recipes from your pledge of any amount this hour. So make that pledge right now. You can do it online at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you.